Hello and welcome to the salubrious surroundings of the Corley services on the M6, a place that we have stopped at many times. Alongside me is Paddy Davitt. We're travelling back from a brilliant night at Goodison Park, where Norwich beat Everton 2-0 in the EFL Cup third round, just in case you haven't heard yet. Pad, is the adrenaline still sort of flowing from last night, from the excitement of it all?
No, I've got it under control now, Dave.
Calm down.
Replaced by hot chocolate. That's the only fluid going through my body at the minute. But day after the night before, still really have to package that as a very impressive performance on many levels, you know, so many positives. But obviously, immediately is a place in the fourth round, and we'll find out who they've got on Wednesday evening. But, you know, just the manner of the performance, the boys who came in, the boys who put their hands up, as Alex Neil says, he's got some serious headaches for Burton on Saturday now.
Indeed. If we kick off with a look at the game then, 10 changes. Robbie Brady, the only player to survive from the weekend in the starting lineup. John Ruddy returning, Stephen Naismith, Seb Bassong, Ryan Bennett all getting chances. Who were the players who stood out for you? I mean, Ruddy looks pretty solid to me, I would say, of everyone. He's probably the one with the best chance of maybe forcing his way in against Burton on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a fair shout. Yeah, I mean, there was one really good save at the end or towards the end from Idrissa Guy that was going in. He just pushed it around the post. One or two other little skirmishes on free kicks and what have you. But yeah, all in all, very, very composed, and a timely reminder to his manager that, you know, okay, Michael McGovern's the man in possession at the minute, and obviously they've won three games in the league, so I think it's probably unlikely or unrealistic to expect that he would change up for Burton. But Michael McGovern, when he spoke to us pre who did they play last Saturday, I've forgotten now, in the midst of Forest, you know, he said that with John Ruddy now fully fit, if he lets his standards drop, then he's got a fight in his hands. And I think John delivered his own message on Tuesday night. Yeah, right through the spine for me, really. You know, the two centre backs, Bennett and Bassong, did what they had to do. I thought when they came under a bit of pressure, they were very strong, particularly aerially.
Bassong, that was probably his best game for a while, wasn't it? I mean, there was no messing about on the floor. He stuck to it. He's always good in the air, isn't he, really, Seb?
He is. I mean, we spoke about it after the game, didn't we? That basically, when he doesn't try to show what a good player he is, then he is a good player. You know, if he just does the basics right, physically, he's got everything, all the attributes, athletically, and he's got the experience now as well. And you would just like him to play within his comfort zone, really. Don't try and do anything, i.e. bringing a ball out of defence, dwelling on the ball, trying to do things that he doesn't really need to do. Just defend, basically, first and foremost. And when he does that, then there's no doubt the lad is an asset. So yeah, those two, I thought the two in front of them, Molumbu and Thompson, given Alex Tete's is out at the minute and we're not quite sure when he's going to come back from the hip injury, I think they showed one or both could do that screening role as well if required, because let's not, you know, downplay it. They were playing against some very good players, Premier League players, and they didn't look out of place. So those two collectively were a positive. And then a little bit further forward, obviously the goal scorers, but Nelson Oliveira, debut of note, I thought 45 minutes, that was the plan beforehand, not to overexert him, and a nice assist for the goal and one or two very, very intelligent touches. He looks like he could be an asset.
Some very nice flicks. There was one in particular on the halfway where he just went round Mason Holgate as if he wasn't there, wasn't he? It didn't come to anything, but there was a nice little flicker of what could be to come there. Obviously coming off at half time and Carl Lafferty coming on, Alex just said that was pre-planned then afterwards.
He did, mate. Yeah. I mean, it was literally clearly they've obviously wrapped him in a bit of cotton wool. He hasn't been seen until Tuesday night, and so they're not overly keen, having built him up slowly but surely to then overexert him. As Alex Neil said, even another 5 or 10 minutes after the interval, that might have been the difference. And then you've got a setback, and right now they basically need all the options they can up top. And as he said, also on the flip side, Lafferty needs minutes as well. You know, the window's come and gone. We all know that it looked like he might be heading out. He's not had a lot of football. There might be occasions now between now and January where he's going to be called upon, and so it's important that he gets some games just to keep ticking over. And obviously as well, Naismith, and we all know he was he was the story last night along with Josh Murphy.
Yeah, Naismith got a brilliant reception before the game, didn't he? And then obviously he scored his goal. It was a very fortunate goal. Basically managed to kick the ball against his standing leg and it completely threw off Stekelenburg in goal and looped into the top corner. It was a really, really strange finish and he got a fantastic reception. After the game, I mean, I spoke to him and the word he used was that he was shocked to have not been involved in things recently and that him and the manager hadn't necessarily talked about the situation at great length and that he thinks he's doing enough to get in the team. But would you say on that basis he's likely to be in the 11 on Saturday?
No, I don't think so. I mean, as good as that performance was and the result and individual performances, I think ultimately, you know, you got a team in the league who've won three on the spin and in the manner of how they came back at Forest, as long as there's no fitness or injury issues, and I don't think he'd want to go basically sort of demote almost the lads who did the business at Forest, because you know they haven't really done anything to deserve coming out of the side. Obviously within that there's horses for courses and different opponents, but you know, I mean, he went with Wes, didn't he, behind Jerome, and he's been eulogising about Wes of late and made it clear again that was probably one of the factors why he was prepared to let Maddison go up to Aberdeen on loan, just because Wes has started the season so well and now Pritchard looks to be fully fit and can do a job in that 10 role. So I think Naismith was probably going to still find himself a little bit down the pecking order, but he can only do what he did last night. He gets an opportunity, yeah, slightly fortuitous his goal, but you know, work hard and just prove to his manager that he is a viable option. And yeah, he certainly did that. In terms of, you know, we all know the situation, we all know what happened on deadline day, or what didn't happen as it turned out, with the interest from Sunderland. Alex Neil is getting asked about his absence in the league, certainly every press conference there's more than a degree of irritation about that. He says it's just purely footballing reasons. You know, he thinks there's others playing better. We've touched on it there. Wes probably the primary example, and while they're winning, you know, you can't really argue with his decisions. But you know, you can see it from Naismith's side of the fence. I mean, up to the window he had been starting every game, and then you know he plays poorly at Birmingham, doesn't he, in that striker role. Then we have the deadline day shenanigans and he's not been seen since in the league. So I can see it from both sides, but ultimately what's the most important thing? Norwich picking up results, and they're doing that.
I'd have thought maybe he did just about enough to maybe get on the bench on Saturday. You know, he showed enough of the right attitude. You mentioned Louis Thompson. I mean, again, he looked quite good. Malumbu and Whittaker, I thought, had quite strange games in that at times it looked like they were struggling with the pace. They were obviously against some very good players, the likes of Aaron Lennon, Gerard De La Feu, Ross Barkley, although the Everton fans were getting quite frustrated with him, weren't they, because he was dallying with the ball a bit. But Malumbu and Whittaker's experience, particularly in the end, was actually quite key in helping to see out the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think in that environment, you know, when you go 1 and then obviously later 2-0 up, but against a Premier League club who would have expected to do quite well in this competition, they've had a fantastic start in the league under Koeman. You know, 13 points from first five games, went into that game second in the table. You know there's going to be spells, and it was inevitably in that second period particularly, where you're going to be under the pump, and it was all hands to deck at times. You know, John Ruddy's had to make one or two decent stops. I remember Pritchard, bit of a miraculous goal line clearance. It probably just hit him rather than he got in the way, but they all count. And in those spells, yeah, that's where you do need, as you rightly mentioned there, the Malumbus, Whittakers, the two centre backs, and Ruddy as well. You know, lads who've been around the block and could just help some of the younger lads in the team sort of to ride out that storm, which it was for a time until, of course, Josh moved centre stage.
Okay, that seems a good point. Let's have a listen to what Stephen Naismith and Josh Murphy had to say after the game, and then we'll relive that goal a little bit more afterwards.
It was a bit surreal, but it just sums the club up. That's what the club's about, and the people here are special, and that's what makes it such a good club. So it was a fantastic night all round for myself. No, I didn't. I wasn't going to celebrate, obviously, but then for them to start clapping, it was a special touch, and it was an amazing place for me to be for the time I was here, and I've had some great memories, and it just shows the bond that I've had with them. But that reaction's the hope to people at it, and that's what makes it such a special club.
Well, Josh Murphy then, congratulations. Just how pleased is the dressing room with that result?
Oh, they were buzzing in there. We had to come here and put in a good performance, because there's a lot of players trying to get into that starting 11 for the championship, and it's a great place to state your claim, and I think all the boys showed up well, and we stuck to our game plan and was outstanding, so everyone's buzzing in there.
Okay, yeah. So Josh, clearly a very happy man, and says the dressing room was buzzing. Brilliant strike, wasn't it? I mean, it reminded me of his debut goal at Watford when he came on as a substitute in the League Cup, same competition, and he turned that game. But he definitely put the icing on the cake for this one, sealed it, because Everton were pushing hard, weren't they? They certainly weren't terrible last night. Everton, Norwich had to work really hard for the result, but that was some goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's frightening individual skill. You know, there's no other way to describe it, really. Basically, he's in the corner flag and tight to the corner flag, and it's just that instinctive, A, the willingness to be able to do it, but B, more importantly, the execution to be able to like cut inside two. Second one, I think, was Tom Cleverley, and then literally compose himself. He's actually on an angle going away from the goal, but then to compose himself and the technique on the left to hit that shot. I mean, it was basically never going anywhere in the top corner, and it was a thing of beauty. And given his twin was getting a lot of headlines, scored an excellent goal himself against Blackburn on the opening day. You know, that's the battle within the battle, really. Who's going to be the dominant Murphy in the Murphy household? But you know, Norwich are the beneficiaries at the minute, because they're almost pushing each other's performance levels to new heights. And Alex Neil must be just sitting back now and thinking, thank you to Norwich's academy system, because they've produced two excellent prospects. And obviously now it's about consistency and doing it week in, week out. But when you see things like that, you know, just an instinctive piece of brilliance, then, you know, as Alex Neil says, they're special players and they're match winners, and there's not too many of them about.
It was a great finish, and there's only about 250 Norwich fans who made the journey, which is understandable given how perhaps poor the club have been in the League Cup over the years. But the ones who travelled, it was worth it just for that moment. And I think what is also probably worth bearing in mind is that he did have some tough moments in the game, didn't he? On the defensive side, he's still got a bit to learn. He's got to be stronger. But I think you can see game by game at the moment that both the Murphy boys are learning. You can see them developing in front of your eyes, can't you? Their confidence is growing. And for Josh, moments like that, and with the manager saying after the game that they are match winners, I would say for Norwich fans, this is probably the most exciting moment for young players coming through since Darren Eadie and Craig Bellamy. These lads could really be worth serious money, and you know, at the end of this season, they could even, if they continue at this rate, they could even have a battle on their hands to keep hold of them.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that is the downside. You know, the nature of the beast is that, you know, Norwich at the minute are a progressive club in the Championship, sadly, and if they are still in the Championship come next May, then yeah, inevitably those two lads have continued this level of performance, there will be interest. That's the hard facts of the matter. But you know, there'll be decisions to be made then by the powers that be. But it would be a lovely situation to be in if you've got two real good assets. And you know, you've seen how the market is now. I mean, the window just gone, some of the price inflation was absolutely ridiculous. But here you have two homegrown English talents who've basically, you know, been developed, been nurtured, gone out on loan, experienced some of the highs, some of the lows, as you rightly said there, Dave. I mean, even within that game at Goodison, you know, there's elements to his game that clearly need to be polished, particularly without the ball. Sometimes it's almost a lack of belief for me that in those tight situations he gets knocked off the ball a little bit too easy, that maybe the physical aspect of it he hasn't quite got to grips with. But there is no doubt in both of them have some serious ability, and yeah, they've been managed well to this point. And you just hope, particularly with Alex Neil's track record, particularly what he did at Hamilton with the McCarthys and McArthurs, that they're in good hands, and he will just continue now to expose them a little bit more, and all they've got to do is just maintain it. They've shown now in these first few weeks of the season that they are good enough, they can influence games for Norwich in a Norwich shirt. So you know, let's just hope they kick on, because if they do, I think it's going to be exciting times for all concerned.
Certainly is, and they're good lads on top of it as well, so it's good to see them doing well. Before we plough on down the M6 and A14 back to Norfolk, let's have a look forward to how this can affect the Championship season, which of course remains the priority. All looking good on that front. All of a sudden, this four wins in a row in all competitions, one of the best cup results that the club has had for quite a while. Spirits are up, the manager's got plenty to be happy about, plenty of options in front of him. The fact all those grumbles about the transfer window all of a sudden have disappeared, and surely Saturday is a fantastic opportunity against Burton, a team who obviously it's a match they have to be wary of. It's a potential banana skin, but if they can win and make it five wins on the trot, then they really are in a brilliant position, aren't they?
They are, and of course, where do they go after that? A few days later, Newcastle away, which we know is going to be a very tough ask. But if you're going into that game on the back of five consecutive wins, then confidence levels will be soaring. Yeah, it's important not to get too complacent now. I mean, Alex Neil has spoken recently again that this league's all about peaks and troughs, and right now they are riding the crest of a wave. But, you know, we've already seen it as well, the downside. Sheffield Wednesday came and were very obdurate. Bristol City as well. You know, Wigan, you know, had them hanging on a touch at the end. Cardiff didn't go quietly. You know, let's not underestimate Burton. Okay, they've come up, but they've come up and they've got their momentum from what they did in League One. They've picked up some decent results. They're not going to come here and roll over, I don't think. I don't think, you know, it'll be naive to assume that Norwich are now going to brush aside teams 4 and 5. It's going to be a totally different game again. They're going to be the team who come in and sit at Carr Road and basically invite Norwich to try and break them down. So, you know, but you have to look at it, and you feel really the forces with Norwich at the minute. I mean, as Alex Neil said, just to underline the point you made there, Dave, he's made 10 changes from Forest to Everton, yet he still had 7 internationals on the pitch. That shows you the strength in depth. And, you know, literally now, it's a hard thing to do, but they've just got to stay in the moment. Don't get too carried away. You know, don't look too Newcastle, for example. It's all about Burton now. 3 points there Saturday, and you know, things will roll on and Newcastle will take care of itself.
To be fair to Alex, when he was asked who he wanted last night, he just said my attention's on Burton, didn't he? So yeah. He's doing quite that. He's the pragmatist. And I mean, if they can beat Burton and get a point at Newcastle, I think everyone would snap their hands off for that, wouldn't they?
I think that would be a good set of results, yeah. Newcastle, I mean, they obviously won in the League Cup on Tuesday night, but lost their last home game to Wolves, so, you know, there's a few chinks in the armour there. But yeah, I think the reality is, before a ball was kicked, you'd say you finish above them, you're probably going up again. So that is going to be a titanic collision, and what better way to go into it than, on, as I say, on the back of 5 wins?
Wouldn't it just? Right, let's plough on back to Norfolk then. All the usual reaction from last night on pinken.com. Don't forget to check out the Pinken Show on Mustard TV on Wednesday night, and of course will be repeated on the websites on demand. And we'll have all the build-up for you online and in the papers ahead of that game against Burton on Saturday.